We saw in the previous verse, Lord Brahma was offering prayers. How he was offering prayers? Pavitrabhi, with purified words, transcendental words. We understood how on the transcendental platform only we can actually offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. We can glorify him. On the transcendental platform, we can chant Hare Krishna. On the transcendental platform, we can hear Hare Krishna. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, we have got 2 ears. Why 2 ears? And 1 mouth. Correct? Many times we have heard. So why we have got 2 ears and 1 mouth? So that we can? No, we have got 1 mouth because we should speak, and 2 ears because we should hear from this and eject from here. So we should do whatever we want and not listen to anybody. That is why 2 ears are given. So Prabhupada tells, so if we are not purified enough, then Hare Krishna will enter from here and come out from here. So we will not be able to hear Hare Krishna. So if you want to hear Hare Krishna, then our ears, hearing has to be purified. If we want to chant, our tongue has to be purified. If we want to engage our limbs in the service of Krishna, all the limbs have to be purified. If we want to behold the form of Krishna, eyes have to be purified. If we have to think of Krishna, mind has to be purified. If mind is contaminated, it is not possible to think of Krishna. If we have to understand about Krishna, then intelligence has to be purified. So Pavitrabhi, because Lord Brahma is pure devotee, he was able to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. And we also understood, how long does it take to become pure? How long? Yes? One moment, yes. If we are sincere. If we are not sincere, then millions of lives. It may take millions of lives. So Prabhupada explained, it all depends on how sincere a person is. If somebody is sincere, somebody is very, very eager, very enthusiastic, then in a moment it can be done. And if that enthusiasm is not there, it may take millions of lifetimes. So thus Prabhupada is always urging the students to be very, very sincere, to always be very enthusiastic, desire very strongly to attain that pure status. If we desire very strongly, Prabhupada also gave the example. Which example Prabhupada gave? Anyone remembers? We discussed. No. Which example Prabhupada gave of the result of enthusiasm? Example of student. So student is going and he is not at all enthusiastic. So may go and sit in the class, will not learn anything. But if the student is enthusiastic, then he will make progress in his studies. So it is not that simply by going to the class, everybody will become very learned and wise. No. Somebody may be going, attending all the lectures. Every year, day after day, year after year, class after class, one may still not acquire desired knowledge if one is not enthusiastic to learn. So simply remaining in the movement is no guarantee that we will also reach perfection. Of course, there is guarantee, Prabhupada tells, because devotee association is so powerful, but then it may take a long time. Prabhupada tells, if you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, all the bad habits also will go away. But it will take a very long time. But if we actively put effort, then we can make it happen very quickly. Keeping the wood dry, Prabhupada explains. So that is why actively we have to try to make our spiritual life perfect. Simply by remaining in association also, it will become perfect, but it will take long time. So if we want to make it happen quickly, then we have to put efforts. Now in this verse, Lord Brahma is now, this is the first verse, first stanza of the prayers. Deva Deva Akhila Dhyaksha. Very clearly, first of all, Lord Brahma is establishing the position of Lord Krishna. Nobody can establish Krishna's position better than Brahma, because Brahma is the original person. Here Brahma is telling Deva Deva. Deva Deva means he is the god of gods. Devas are gods and Krishna is Deva Deva. He is the god of all the gods, controller of all the controllers. Akhiladhyaksha. Akhil means entire universe. Adhyaksh means proprietor or controller, master. He is the proprietor of entire universe. So Brahma is telling, I am not the proprietor. You are Akhiladhyaksha. You are the supreme proprietor. So when people tell that Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, everybody is equal, so that is not fact. Lord Brahma is telling that you are Akhiladhyaksha. You are Devadev. I am Dev and you are Devadev. Bhut Bhavana. What is Bhut? Bhut means past, and Bhut also means ghost, and Bhut also means species of life, all the living entities, and Bhuta also means matter, material ingredient. So thus this word has got so many meanings. So Bhut Bhavana means who is the origin of all the living entities. Or all the matter also. Krishna is the origin of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. But here the specific translation is the cause of all living entities. Purvaja. Purvaja means ancestor. The original ancestor from whom everyone has come, descended. Dishtyate nihata papo loka santapano suraha. Because of our good fortune, you have now killed the sinful demon who was giving trouble to the entire universe. Loka santapano asuraha. So Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the cause of all the problems in this world. So the world has got no problem, but the problems happen because of asuras, demons. They are the cause of all the problems of this world. So that is why very stringent system called Varnashrama system is introduced so that such souls do not appear in this world in the first place. That is why Arjuna was very much concerned that if the people in this battlefield are killed, that will be the result of unwanted population, and that is called Varna Sankara. Sankara means mixed. Varna means the classes in the society. So the children will be born of mixed classes. Classes should not be mixed. It is a science. You combine hydrogen and oxygen, different result. Carbon and oxygen, different result. Carbon and carbon, different result. So the combination, every combination results in a different output. So in a similar fashion, in the Shastras, there is injunction. So many injunctions are there. So the woman from a Brahmana family should marry a man from Brahmana family. Woman from Kshatriya family should marry man from Kshatriya family. In this way, classes have to be maintained. As we have discussed previously also, now there is no such consideration. Anyway, the classes also are not preserved. Because there is no such consideration, what is happening? We can see in animals also, if you don't preserve the classes, what happens? The animals become extinct, and apart from extinct, yes, they lose their strength, they lose their fitness, they lose their intelligence. If you have to have those special dogs who are very intelligent, so they are of certain breed, not every dog is equally intelligent. So that is why they protect the breed very, very nicely. If you have to have good milk, you have to preserve certain breed of cows. Otherwise, you will not get that desired milk. So the intelligence, the productivity, the health, everything is protected by. So if animals become less intelligent by not preserving the beads, the same thing happens in human beings also. So rather in the Vedas, very clearly it is mentioned, if this kind of man marries with this kind of woman, the result will be a person who would like to become chariot driver. If this woman marries to this man, the result will be a cobbler. That person would like to become cobbler. This woman marries to this person, the result would be XYZ, thief will come, dacoit will take birth. Such will be his tendency. So the tendencies for unique professions are created because of these unique combinations. In this way, very nicely it is described in the Vedas. So people were very much cautious. That is why the Brahmanas were very, very eager. When Vain Maharaj was there, Vain Maharaj was very, very awful ruler. He stopped all the sacrifices. He told, offer sacrifices to me. I am the Supreme Personality. And his father got so disgusted, he went to jungle. Seeing this son, what kind of son I have got. And he was so cruel. And because he was so cruel, he was able to very nicely maintain all the dacoits. If there is one big dacoit, small dacoits will stay silent. So the rogues and thieves came under control. So that was fact. Because when king was not there originally, he went to jungle. So many rogues and thieves, they started creating disturbance. So then Brahmanas thought, let us have some ruler at least. So let us see, probably he will be able to do nice. So yes, he was able to do nice because he was a bigger rogue. All the small rogues were arrested, kept under control. But then he was disregarding all the Vedic injunctions. So he was killed by the cursing of the Brahmanas. Brahmanas were so very much powerful. But when he was killed, now how to get the next king? So they churned his body. So this is another science. Ultimately, the birth of son happens from father's body. And even after death, it can also be done if somebody is so advanced like these Brahmanas. So from the dead body of King Vena, by churning his dead body in a particular way, they were able to create son. And he was Prithu Maharaj. So they could have got son from anywhere, but why from that person only? Why the kings were so eager? I need to have somebody. Because it is not possible to have such a personality who is having that kind of spirit, who is capable of ruling the country. It is not possible. Because those bodies, royal bodies, are preserved in a very nice manner. They only can produce another person who is having that strength, that power, those qualities to rule and to control, to do nice administration. So thus it is a very important science. That is why the classes were kept very protected, very, very carefully. And if the classes get mixed, Varna Sankara, then this calamity happens in the world. So Arjuna was very much concerned. So now almost everyone is Varna Sankara because the population has been produced without any Garbhadan Sanskar, without any rituals which are required for producing the proper population. So that is why there is disturbance. Varna Sankara, not willing to follow the Varnashrama system, Asuras, and because of the Asuras, there is disturbance. So there are very, very strict rules and regulations which have to be followed. So one has to be very alert. So this is the unique symptom of Asura. What is an Asura? What makes Asura an Asura? It is not that he'll be very ugly, or the only feature is that he will be not willing to follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, Prabhupada explains. Lord Krishna explains rather in the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, Divine and Demoniac Natures. Na shaucham na picha charo, na satyam teshu vidyate. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidura asuraha. Asuras, what do? Pravritti and nivritti. What is to be done and what is not to be done? They do not know. So first of all, they do not even know. Most of the asuras are in ignorance. What is supposed to be done in this world and what is not to be done? They think, let me whatever hear from this here and eject from this. I will do whatever I want. So they do not know what is supposed to be done. And even if they know, in some cases, they are not willing to follow. This is the nature of the asuras. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha. The do's and don'ts they do not know. Na shaucham napi cha charo. So good behavior is not expected from them. And thus we see in society, there is no good behavior. And na shaucham, no cleanliness. So one of the most famous UPSC instructors of the country, he is orienting his students. Oh, you take bath? What kind of student you are? Student is not supposed to take bath every day. Okay, in summers you may take, but regularly you should not take bath every day. That is not student. The student means he'll be dirty, he'll not take bath, he will not wash his clothes. His room would be messed up. His life would be messed up. That is a student. So he is the leading instructor of the country, and just see, this is how they are educating people. So actually that is asura. So this is the symptom of asura. Lord Krishna is telling, what is asura? Asura means na shaucham na pi chacharo. Shaucha, cleanliness will not be there, internal or external. Only suras can have cleanliness. Asura means no cleanliness and no good behavior. Na satyam, forget about truthfulness. Cannot be truthful at all. Na satyam teshu vidyate. So we should go through it. It is very important chapter Krishna mentions. And then what asura does? Idam adya maya labdham, idam prapsye manoratham, idam asti idam apime bhavishyati punardhanam. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today and I will gain more according to my schemes. Who thinks like this? Demons. I have this much money, tomorrow I'll have this much according to my schemes. So much is mine now and it will increase in the future. Bhavishyati punardhanam idam asti idam api me. This much I have today, tomorrow it will increase. Now I have 1 million, it will become 5 million, 10 million. So much is mine now and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy and I have killed him. So I have killed my enemy or defeated my competitor. Same thing. He is my enemy or my competitor. I have defeated. Tomorrow I will defeat more. I will kill more. And my other enemy also will be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. So asura is thinking, I shall perform sacrifices also. I shall give some charity. So asura does charity also. Asura does sacrifice also. But for what? And thus I shall rejoice. Yakshe dasyami modishya. Ko anyo asti sadrisho maya. Who is there like me? Who is successful like me? I am most successful. So I'll do some charity. For what? Modishya, so that I can rejoice, I can enjoy. So asura means he is living for his rejoicing, personal enjoyment. I want to become happy. I want to become richest. I want to defeat my enemies, my competitors. Today I have got this much. Tomorrow I'll have this much wealth. This is called asura. Iti agyan vimohitaha. Thus, in thus, he is such manner deluded, vimohita, by agyan, by ignorance. And what happens because of this mentality? Lord Krishna explains, chintam aparimeyam cha. Chinta means fear and anxiety. Aparimeya means no limit. Thus, there is no limit to the anxieties of such a person. So the anxieties are not because of anything else. People tell, why the world is so complex, why there are so many anxieties. So world is not complex, you are asura. So because we are asuras, we are having unlimited anxieties. Chintam aparimeyam, Krishna writes here in the 11th verse of 16th chapter. Chintam aparimeyam cha. Pralayantam upashrita kamopubhog parama etavad iti nishchita. He is very much determined. He or she is determined. What is the determination of asura? Kamopubhog parama. Enjoyment of kaam, senses, is taken as the ultimate aim of life. My ultimate aim of life, param, supreme aim is what? To enjoy the senses. Hum toh yahan par maze karne ke liye aaye. I just want to enjoy. Kamopabhoga parama. And till what time he wants to pursue this objective? Pralayantam upashritaha. Till the time of universal devastation. Unless the universe is destroyed, I'll keep on making plans for my enjoyment. As long as universe exists, the universe shall be at my command. I want to enjoy. And because of this, ashapasha shatayar baddha. being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires. Asuras have shatayar, means hundreds and thousands of desires, and they are bound by such desires. They are not free. People tell, I do not have time. Why you do not have time? Because you are bound. Yes, it is a fact. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have money. When you tell, please give donation, it is, Prabhu, I don't have money. So yes, he does not have. That is a fact. He does not have money. Although he is earning his entire life, he has become old. Still, he does not have money. So we tell, we are better. We did not work hard to have no money. You have worked your entire life. And after this, the result is you have no money. So better is, don't work. Entire life you are working for money, still you are having no money. So yes, why? Because he is bound. Because of this, he has no money, he has no time, and he has no health, and he has no peace. Because he is tightly bound by his ashas, desires. Asha pasha shatayar baddha. These desires, hundreds and thousands, not one or two desires, they have hundreds and thousands of desires. I want this also, I want that also. They make bucket list, drum list. List always increases. Ihante kama bhogartham anyanenartha sanchayan. By lust and anger, being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So that this is very dangerous situation. In this way they plan, yes, I will do some charity, I will do some sacrifice also so that I can enjoy ultimately. But then chintama parimeyam, such people, what such people? All of us. We were born as Asuras, we were trained as Asuras by Prabhupada's mercy. We are trying to become Suras. Otherwise everyone in this material world, especially in this Kali Yuga, all of us are trained to become Asura. This much you have today, you get more tomorrow, defeat your competitors. And in this manner, you try to enjoy in this world. Enjoyment of senses is the ultimate aim of life. And you should pursue it till you die. That is the ultimate objective. On the other hand, there are suras. So what is the difference between asura and sura? Asura has no knowledge. Even if he has knowledge, he has no inclination to follow the Vedic rules and regulations. And the suras, they follow Vedic rules very, very strictly. They follow the authorities very, very strictly. This is the only difference. Those who follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, they are called sura. And those who do not follow the rules and regulations of scriptures, they are called asura. So sura is happy and asura is always under distress. So that is why if you want to become sura, we have to follow rules and regulations very, very strictly. Little bit if we disobey, then there is calamity. Only little disobedience was there. And ultimately, who are these asuras? Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, how they came into this world? Because little disregard of the Vedic injunctions happened by the stalwart Muni, Kashyap Muni. The same Muni produced all the devatas. He became the father of the demons. Why? Little disregard of the injunction. What was the disregard? He desired to produce children in the evening time. Evening time is not at all suitable for conceiving children. And he was doing yajna, sacrifice, but the wife became very lusty and he got carried away. So just see, Maya is so dangerous. You are doing yajna, sacrificing the Supreme Lord. Immediately after yajna, the wife told, no, I want to enjoy. So thus, this is how Maya acts, Prabhupada. As soon as you are determined that I want to follow, there will be attack of Maya. So Maya is a person, Maya is testing agency. As soon as you are determined to make spiritual advancement, there will be attack of Maya. Maya will put a trust. Maya will attack. So he is doing yajna. His consciousness should be so nice, but Maya is also so strong. Why he started pulling? And then he was not able to control himself. And what was the result? Everything he followed very nicely. He is a Brahmana. He is a Muni. He is the seer of future also. He is knowing all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, but little casual attitude. And the result was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And immediately after the act, he told his wife, that now the result will be disaster. Two personalities will come, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and they will be the cause of great distress to the devtas, the managers of the universe. And they will be the great source of troubles to the brahmanas and to general living entities. They will create great disturbance in the management of the world. And thus, Diti, their mother, she also got scared. And she tried to hold them in their womb for 100 years. So much trouble, just see. For little pleasure, little she could not control. And then the result is 100 years. For few years, if the mother carries, it is so much troublesome business. Pregnancy is not easy. And Diti had to suffer how long? She tried to keep her womb for 100 years. And within the womb only, they created such an impact that the darkness started spreading across the universe. And the devtas are afraid, Lord Brahma, what is this happening? From where this darkness is coming? So Brahma told, they are there, they are coming out. And Kashyap Muni also told. So thus we can see here, people are very eager to know the future. So Prabhupada explains, even if you know the future, you will not be able to change it. So what is the use of knowing? Even if you know, you cannot change. And even if you do not know, you surrender to Krishna, Krishna changes for good. If we completely surrender to Krishna, Krishna changes. Whatever happens then in a devotee's life, that is all for devotee's welfare. Devotee's good. So thus we should try to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, we may become so advanced that we will see the future. We can make very strong predictions, but we will not be able to change it. Like Kashyap Muni, seeing future but could not change. So that is why it is very, very important to follow the rules and regulations very strictly. Little bit if you disobey, so Prabhupada explains. Without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient, no one can become successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master. And without doing so, no one is able to go back to Godhead. So without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient, no one can become successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master. Rup Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that discipline means one who observes discipline, he is called disciple. So the suras or disciple means one who observes discipline. So the word disciple has come from discipline. He is called disciple. Everyone knows it. The student is also derivation from the same word. Shishya. Shishya has come from shas dhatu. Prabhupada explains shas means to control. So from shas dhatu has come shastra. Shastra means the scriptures, they control, they regulate our life. And when people do not follow the shastra, then there is shastra. It also has come from shas dhatu. So shastra is also meant for controlling, and shastras also are meant for controlling. One who voluntarily agrees to become controlled by the spiritual master, he is called shishya. Again, it has come from shas dhatu. So the student or disciple, it means he agrees to follow the rules and regulations very strictly, become very, very disciplined. Everyone knows it. Disciple means one who observes discipline. If one does not observe discipline, then he is not a disciple. So one may ask, why should I be a disciple? So it is explained. And one who is not a disciple, his life is chaotic. He cannot be happy. So one who is not a disciple, his life would be chaotic. And chaos means unhappiness. He cannot be happy. Therefore, Vedas say that you must accept a bona fide guru and become disciplined under his instruction. Then you will know the higher system of knowledge, the necessity of life, and thus you become happy. Thus, Lord Krishna very clearly mentions in the same divine and demoniac principle, Lord Krishna, in verse number 23. Yash Shastra Vidhimu Srijya, I think it is the last verse. Vartate kama karata, na sa siddhim avapnoti, na sukham, na param gatim. Yash Shastra Vidhim Usrijya. One who gives up the Shastra Vidhi. Who gives up Shastra Vidhi? The demons. The Asuras. Usrijya. They don't like to follow the rules and regulations. Either they do not know, don't care to know. Even if they know, they are not inclined to follow. That is called Shastra Vidhi Usrijya. Shastras are full of Vidhi, rules and regulations. They give up. And when they give up Shastra Vidhi, what is the result? Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti. They don't attain perfection in their work. Na Sukham. They don't become happy. And Na Param Gatim. They don't attain the ultimate destination of life. So thus, it is not possible to become happy without following the rules and regulations, without being disciple. Because only when a person is disciple, he can be disciplined. Somebody has to tell us what to follow, what discipline to follow. So that is why being a disciple is very much required. Only when one is a disciple, he becomes. And if a person is telling, I am disciple, and he or she doesn't follow the discipline, then they are not actually disciples. So, disciple means discipline. One who is not a disciple, his life is chaotic. He cannot be happy. So, that is why discipline is prerequisite for happiness. In chaos, one cannot, there is no question of happiness. So, one disciple asks, Srila Prabhupada, it mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that in the Vidhi Marg, there are many things we don't want to do. But we must do in order to make advancement. Prabhupada, no, that is also modern government, democracy. I do not want to do something, but the parliament passed the laws. We have to do even if I do not like. That is discipline. So nobody is free from. So Prabhupada says we are very tightly under control of the laws of nature. A very vivid example Prabhupada gives. One day you eat without hunger, then what will happen? 2 days you have to fast. You'll not feel hunger at all. So one day if you eat without feeling hungry, then stomach goes upset. Then 2 days you have to fast to revive the hunger. So the laws, they control us so very much tightly. You cannot eat unlimitedly. You cannot violate. So that is why people are being put to suffering. So many diseases are increasing in the society because people are not following the basic even rules and regulations, the discipline. Of eating, discipline of sleeping, discipline of mating, these disciplines are missing. So if you miss the discipline, Shastra Vidhi Usrijya, then there is always chaos. So thus, even if you do not want, I don't want to stop at red light. Even if you do not want, you have to stop. Otherwise, punishment will come. So like this, there are so many laws. Even if you do not want, you have to follow. Similarly, there are laws and those laws are given in the books. So that is why there is no exemption. This world follows certain laws. If you follow those laws, we'll be happy. Otherwise, punishment will be inflicted upon us. Nobody likes to follow laws here in this material world. But we have to follow if we want to be happy. So one should be eager to know laws. I want to set up my company. I do not know the laws. From where to take license, how to register, how to do XYZ. So I have to know. Only then I'll be able to do business, make some money, become happy. Otherwise, there would be suffering. So that is why if we want to become happy, first of all, we should be very, very eager to know the laws. And then I should be eager to follow it. To go back home, back to Godhead, is not an easy thing. It requires great discipline of body and mind. And performance of pure devotional service. So again, Prabhupada is mentioning, it requires going back to Godhead, great discipline of body and mind, and performance of pure devotional service. And the karmis also, they realize this. You ask any good karmi, they are very, very disciplined. So there is a very famous saying from Winston Churchill, the famous leader of the Britain. So he tells, as usually youngsters, they want to be free. So he tells, for the first 25 years of life, I desired freedom. And next 25 years, I desired order or discipline. And then in the next 25 years, I realized that order is freedom. So usually when we want to have unlimited freedom, we see our life becomes chaotic, we become unhappy. then people want to regulate themselves. And then we realize actually regulation or discipline is freedom. All of us have this realization when we are not there in the residency here. Then we were doing whatever we wanted and how messed up the life was. And now that I'm trying to discipline myself, I see automatically I become happy. So that is why order is freedom. So we should try to be very, very orderly, be very, very disciplined. A small negligence of discipline can lead to calamity. So we should always remember this example. Which example Prabhupada gives, anybody knows? Very relevant to Mumbai. We have discussed many times in our classes. How casual behavior leads to casuality. Anything related to trains? Prabhupada gives, what is that? Somebody remembers? Related to train? Many times we have discussed. No. Prabhupada gives this example for being very, very alert. Not being negligent at all. So there was a person who was traveling in the train. And the train was very crowded. And this was very difficult for the Westerners to appreciate till they came to India and traveled in Indian trains. So the train was jam-packed, and then this person was sitting, and then a thin person comes and starts smiling, and this person is avoiding eye contact. Why? Because he knows he would want seat, little place to sit. So he's trying to avoid eye contact, but then there is eye contact and then he comes and sits, wriggles, adjusts himself in the position somehow. Thin person anyway, he told, it's okay, thin person, he'll occupy a little space. But then his child is also there next to him. He calls his child and he makes him sit on his lap. And then he realizes there is another child, second child also. He calls second child, he also sits on his lap. He also then eventually occupies his seat. And then finally, his very fat wife comes and then he's thrown off his seat. He has to leave the seat. So in this way, Prabhupada tells, because that person became little complacent, he became little compassionate for that thin man. He lost his seat. Lost his seat completely. So if we become little compassionate towards Maya, Maya will not show any compassion on us. So we have to lose the seat. So if we give little scope to Maya, then Maya throws us off the seat. So thus Prabhupada tells, we have to be very, very vigilant. Prabhupada told, we cannot deviate an inch. Because we do not deviate an inch, we deviate completely then. So this is how Maya works, Prabhu. Either we don't deviate or we deviate completely. So little if we deviate, then Maya will throw us off our seat. So that is why Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna has designed our senses. Whereas Arjuna was telling, it is a great challenge for us to control the senses. How to control the sense? So what does Krishna tell? How to control? In third chapter, yes, practice and what is the practice? Tasmat indriyani adav niyamya bhartarshabha. Therefore, indriya, senses have to be controlled. How? Adav. Adav means in the beginning. In the beginning itself you control. Later it becomes avalanche. You cannot stop an avalanche. Nobody can stop. But when it is a small pebble, it can be stopped. But when it starts rolling down, that small pebble becomes avalanche. Nobody can stop it. So Chanakya Pandit also says, the disease, fire, senses, they should be controlled in the beginning itself. Fire small, it can be controlled. It's only a spark. Disease in the beginning can be controlled. And senses all in the beginning can be controlled. Disease, fire and senses. So Krishna is telling, Tasmad Indriyani Adav, in the beginning itself, we should practice. This practice has to be done. To control in the very beginning itself. Otherwise later, it becomes very difficult to control. It becomes a strong force. Tasmad indriyani adav niyamya bhartarshabha. Regulate in the curb in the beginning itself, curb the senses. But if you give little scope to Maya, then Maya, it takes us off seat. So one has to be very, very vigilant, very, very alert. So long we are stout and strong, we can work very nicely, the health is quite all right. Take advantage of it. It is not that Krishna consciousness movement is for the lazy fellow. No, it is meant for the strong man. Strong in body, strong in mind, strong in determination, everything strong, strong in brain. It is meant for them. Because we have to execute the highest goal of life. We have to execute in Krishna consciousness what we are pursuing. The highest goal of life. To pursue any small goal, people have to become very strong. Strong in mind, strong in body. So Prabhupada is telling, so long we are stout and strong and we can work very nicely. Health is quite all right. Take advantage of it. It is not that Krishna consciousness movement is for the lazy fellow. No, it is meant for the strong man. Strong in body, strong in mind, strong in determination. Everything strong, strong in brain. It is meant for them. Because we have to execute the highest goal of life. So that is why, and of course, in Kali Yuga, all of us are weak, but we can get the strength. How do we get the strength? Yes, we get the strength by simply engaging in devotional service of Krishna. Krishna tells, Yoga Kshemam Vahami Aham Ananya Chintayantamam Ye Jana Paryupasate. Without any deviation, if we engage in service of Krishna, always thinking of Him, Yoga Kshemam, He will protect whatever little qualities we have and He will supply whatever we lack. Whatever we lack, everything will be supplied perfectly by Krishna. The devotees who never got up early in their lives, they are able to follow very, very nicely. How this strength has come from Krishna, this strength has come. So everything will come. So we should not get discouraged. Oh, it is not meant for me, no. Krishna consciousness is specially meant for us in the Kali Yuga, even though we are disqualified because this process is so powerful. So simply if we take to Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, devotional service of Krishna without any deviation, morning to evening we engage ourselves always thinking of Krishna, then we get all the strength. Everything will be given to us. Yoga Kshemam Vahamiham, Krishna personally will give us everything, whatever is required to attain perfection. But it is a fact that we have to become strong. Strong in mind, strong in body, strong in determination. We have to be very, very disciplined. Without discipline, life is chaotic. And one whose life is chaotic, he cannot be happy. So one has to be very strict, very disciplined. So Prabhupada told his disciples a story when he was in Vrindavan. There was a Bengali woman when Prabhupada was in Radha Damodar temple, Prabhupada tells. So every morning, this woman would come with, because people take bath early morning in the Yamuna river. So there's a culture, morning, noon and evening, thrice you have to take bath. So every morning she would take bath in Yamuna, and then from Yamuna she would bring a pot of water for the bathing of Radha Damodar. Every day in the temple, the ceremony Abhishekam happens. So she would bring a pot of water from Yamuna every day without fail. And she would come so early that everybody would be asleep. She would wake up the pujaris also when she comes. But because Prabhupada also was waking up early, many times Prabhupada would open the door for the lady to come. And we know Vrindavan, it is so cold in winters. When this time we went, so beyond 10 feet, there is no visibility. You cannot see, it is so cold. But Prabhupada explains, although the Vrindavan nights are cold in the winter, Prabhupada said, the woman never once failed to come with the water. Never once she failed to come with the water. She is a widow, she is old. But never once she failed to come, even in the winters. Although Vrindavan nights are cold in the winter, Prabhupada said, the woman never once failed to come with the water. For this activity, she will return back to Godhead. Simply for this activity, this determination, she will return back to Godhead. One who cannot rise, Prabhupada tells, one who cannot rise early in the morning is not very serious about spiritual life. One must rise before the Brahma Muhurta hour, that is very auspicious. And one will take the trouble to do so if he is serious about spiritual life. So thus little rules and regulations, Vedic rules and regulations are so very much tough. When Prabhupada was asked by disciples, so Prabhupada, have you told us all the rules and regulations of worshipping the deities? So Prabhupada told, you'll faint if I tell you rules and regulations. Simply by listening, you will faint. So whatever I've told you, follow. So thus, Vedic rules and regulations are so strict. So one a senior devotee was telling that they visited one South Indian matha, famous matha, on the Ekadashi day. And on Ekadashi, we take non-green prasadam. So we are, usually we take non-green prasadam. So that day they were searching, where is prasadam? apparently there is no prasadam in matha. So then Prabhu told, we are going there and we could not find anywhere. And then we asked somebody, he told, today is Ekadashi. We don't put anything on stove on this day. So they don't cook anything on Ekadashi. Nothing. So this way, very, very rigidly they follow even now in some mathas. And otherwise also very strict rules and regulations are supposed to be followed. As Prabhupada explains, if the spiritual master fails to call you, then you have to fast that day. You cannot tell, sir, may I come in? May I honor prasadam? You cannot ask. If he fails to call, you have to fast. Similarly, you have to go outside and shout out loud, is anybody hungry? If anybody is hungry, you have to feed them. If food gets over, you cook again. very, very strict rules and regulations. Nobody can. But Prabhupada has given simple rules, and those rules you have to follow very, very strictly. If you don't follow them very strictly, surrender 100% Prabhupada, then spiritual life has not even begun. What to speak of advancement? So 100% surrender is required. That is a beginning, completely following the rules and regulations without any exception. So when we follow all the rules, regulations, little rules, regulations Prabhupada has given, if you follow them very nicely, then we'll be automatically happy. So whole world is searching for happiness formula, simple Prabhupada's instructions. We follow, we'll be happy. And if we follow this discipline, then we can go back home, back to Godhead very, very easily. And if we do not follow discipline, then we are asuras. Asura cannot be happy. And this asuric population is the cause of all the troubles in the world. There is no trouble in the world per se. But the asuras, they are very expert in creating trouble. And when they are able to solve their self-created trouble, that is their victory. That is their deed. So they solve one trouble and create 12 more troubles. There is their success. In this way, chintam aparimeyam, there is no end to their anxieties. But if you follow the rules, regulations very strictly of bona fide spiritual master, then we are very happy. So definitely there is some pain, there is some trouble, but this pain must be taken, trouble must be taken for long-term happiness. So with this we will end. Any questions? Yes. 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 So the question is, in Western countries, the cities are very much clean, cleaner than India, many places in India, and they keep their surroundings also clean, and they behave also very nicely. Good morning, good evening. And but after talking good morning, they will kill you. So what is the use of that good morning? So this is not good behavior. On one hand, you are killing poor animals like anything. And then external behavior is nice. So that is not called good behavior. Behavior is so bad, they are killing. So killing is not good behavior. But of course, yes, some good dealings are there. That is called good nature, divine nature. Whatever little nicely they are able to behave. So whatever little cleanliness they are able to have, that is called divine nature. So it is not that somebody is 100% demon, as Prabhupada explains. The demigods also, they are behaving as demons. Indra is also fighting with Krishna. So the devtas also may behave like demons. So everybody has got mix of divine and demoniac qualities. Pure devotee is perfectly divine. So that platform we have to attain. So thus, these are good qualities and we should learn these qualities from them. at least these external cleanliness which they maintain. So the question is, can we infer, conclude that if we are in Rajaguna and Tamoguna, then we are in Asurik Pravritti? Yes. Asura means Rajaguna and Tamoguna. Yes. 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 So the question is, in the beginning itself we should control the senses, but we got to know this knowledge only after, let's say, 20 years at least. So it has got two meanings. Control in the beginning means yes, in the early ages one should be taught sense control, and it also means immediately, as soon as the thought of sense enjoyment comes, immediately we should reject that thought. This is also the meaning of Adav in the beginning. If we contemplate on the thought of sense enjoyment, then it will, the contemplation will increase, thinking will become feeling, feeling will become willing, and then we'll be helplessly carried away by the thought. So thus, this is also meaning of Adav. Now, the second part of the question is, so why the government is not taking steps to educate in the beginning? So because, again, the government also is not having that knowledge. So that is why it is the duty to educate people. When the masses are educated, it is democracy. Even if handful of people know, majority, they want to play Ludo online. They want to drink. So how it can be banned? So when gambling is legal, when prostitution is legal, when drinking is legal, then what can be hope in such a society? One country was following very nicely, no intoxication. Recently, it has opened up. Which country? Saudi Arabia? Dubai? Around that place, huh? Saudi Arabia, no? And entire country or one city, I think? Achha, or for visitors, huh? So, yeah, one Gulf country, I'm forgetting the name, it has allowed. So, either in that entire country or in that city, because they want to promote tourism, other things. So, they have opened first liquor shop. And they are telling they are advancing very nicely. So, that is why people have to be educated. So, that is why Krishna consciousness, this knowledge is very important. That is why we do big book distribution. So, when this knowledge reaches people, they will elect a rise government. And then these things will come into place. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So the question is, the Vedic rules and regulations that spiritual master asks the disciple, you come here and honor prasadam, or the grastha goes out and asks if somebody is hungry, is it applicable in our case or not? So it is not applicable in our case. But as far as possible, prasadam distribution should be done. So Prabhupada did not tell us that you also go out and ask anybody is hungry or not. But whatever is your means, you should try to distribute prasadam whenever possible, as much as possible. Prasadam should be given first of all to the devotees, to the brahmanas, and then to the general people and to the animals also. So as far as one means allow, one's means allow, one should do it. And as far as this thing is there, asking of the spiritual master, that is not required. in ashram prasadam is kept, we can go and honor. Nobody will ask. We can do that. But whatever is there in the ashram, that only we should take. We should stick to prasadam, Prabhupada told. And about prasadam also, Prabhupada told, yes, there should be regulation. If we are offering something to the deity with the mood that I will enjoy its nice taste, then that is also sense gratification. That should not be done. And we should honor Krishna prasadam at fixed times, Prabhupada tells. Oh, now I am feeling like something. Let me eat. No, at fixed times I should eat. And with the mood of enjoying, I should not offer something to Krishna. With these few regulations, we honor only Krishna prasadam that is expected from us. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So the question is, with advancement of civilization, movement also has advanced. We also have buffets and restaurants and so many other advanced facilities of honoring prasadam. So how should we act in such a situation? So this question was asked by Amrish Prabhu, Alfred Ford to Prabhupada, a super rich devotee. And he became a devotee. And then he asked Prabhupada, so these restaurants were instituted by Prabhupada. Because not everyone will be able to come to temple. It is not easy to open temple everywhere. Restaurants can be opened relatively easily. So Prabhupada told, you play Hare Krishna mantra, you keep my books there. When people come and hear Hare Krishna, they will read the books, they will become devotees eventually. So Prabhupada encouraged this restaurant program also. Because prasadam honoring is a sincere devotional service. But it is for the general masses. So when Amrish Prabhu, and apparently he was a grihastha and a very rich person. Prabhupada is supposed to have a little, what do we call, give him little more comfort than other disciples. Little more leniency is expected. After all, he is giving crores of rupees or millions of dollars to make temples. So he told Prabhupada, so we can go to restaurant for prasadam. Prabhupada told, we don't go to restaurant. Again, he asked, can we go to restaurant? Prabhupada told, we don't go to restaurant. So, even for prasadam, going to restaurant is not good for devotee. Because there again, it is sense gratification. I choose this I want, this I don't want, this is... So, we don't. Of course, exceptions can be there. We are on trip. There is a group. So, prasadam we cannot have outside. So, sometimes we are in the restaurant. So, that is all right sometimes. But otherwise, regularly, it is sense gratification. As soon as I am choosing, I want this over that. So, that is sense gratification. So thus Prabhupada did not encourage devotees, even devotees, to go to restaurant for prasadam. That is for the general people, outsiders. Thus when we were in Bangalore also, we never went to restaurant. Although we had three restaurants, even now we have two restaurants at least in Bangalore. There is Higher Taste, expensive one. Then there was Annakuta, and there are counters, so many things. But devotees are not allowed to eat anywhere. Barber, yeah. Yeah. So the question is about Varnashrama's application today. My friend, he belongs to traditional barber family or caste, but now he has become para-commando. Para-commandos are elite forces, special forces. Very rarely people are able to become one. So now, he being from a barber caste, now being a para-commando, can he marry a girl who belongs to Kshatriya family? So in Kali Yuga, actually, everyone is Shudra. So it is told in the Shastras. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. So simply fighting does not make a person advanced. So what is a Kshatriya actually? So Kshatriya is supposed to never take salary from anybody. So hired soldiers are not Kshatriyas. So definitely, fighting is one of the quality, but everyone may fight. Animals also fight. So Kshatriya means he will never run away from fighting. He can never show his back to the enemy. He will take blow on the chest and die, but he will never run away from the battlefield showing his. He can never refute a challenge if somebody challenges him for fighting. Even though death is certain, if somebody challenges to fight, he can never refute. He will go and fight. And Kshatriya, how he will maintain himself? The question is, if he does not accept salary, then so he does administration. He protects the people of his region. He manages the area, and then the people, they give him taxes. In this way, by collecting taxes, he does administration and he fights. Then he becomes a Kshatriya. And like this, so many other trainings. Yeah, so that is why it is told in Kali Yuga. Yeah, so that is why it is told Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone is Shudra. No. Chaos is not because of caste. Chaos is because of wrong understanding of caste. As we understood, the species are there, the breeds are there. Because anyway, you need some people who should become researchers, scholars. Some people should become barbers. Some people should become drivers. And if a person is there whose psychology and skills matches that job, that is very nice. So in Vedic culture, such people of such psychology were trained, preserved very nicely. So now the training is not there. So one who is not trained, he is called Shudra, untrained person. So in the absence of training, now everyone is Shudra in Kali Yuga. So how you should marry now in Kali Yuga, that is why you should become Krishna conscious and try to marry a person which is matching your level of Krishna consciousness. In this way it should be done. Okay, so we'll finish here because time is up. Okay, online also. So those who are listening from Folk Residency, they can carry on. We'll take up some more questions. Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, I am following all the rules and regulations and all the disciplines, still I am not happy. So it is not possible. So therefore, we take guidance of the devotees. Where am I lacking? Superficially, I might be following, but there is some lacuna in our understanding, in our following. Otherwise, not possible. If he follows the rules and regulations, we will be happy. Okay. So now, because we are running short of time, we request you can please pose the questions next time and we will discuss. So we'll close. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jay.